Amen. I was going to tell you, I married a Southerner. My wife is from Southern Minnesota. And we don't have a clue what snow is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Her father passed away in February. We went up there. We had church on Sunday, you know. Down here, the snow like this, they roll up the streets and hide and hibernate. And it was a sideways blizzard that came through that weekend. And I said, surely we're not going to have church. This is Minnesota. Snow was that thick in the parking lot with ice on top of it. They had 200 in Sunday school, 200 in church. And I was repenting all day. I said, Lord, forgive me. They folks, they didn't let nothing. But anyway, let's start. Here's what I want to do real quickly. I'm gonna have prayer, Acts chapter 26, for just a springboard, and then we're gonna go to another passage of scripture. My name is David McNeil. I'm pastor of New Hope Baptist Church. I'm a dear friend of Brother Harold and this wonderful ministry. Been coming several years, and thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to be here with you. And hasn't this conference been amazing? Amen. And I hope you take home something. I got a news for you. In spite of COVID, you say the subject being soul winning. You say here we are in the midst of COVID, and we've got storms everywhere, and doom and gloom in our nation. And you say, why in the world are we talking about soul winning? How in the world are we going to get anybody saved? I want to tell you something. Jesus is still alive. He's still on the throne. And until Jesus comes, this grace age, this church age is not over with. We're still able to preach the gospel. That's what he told us to do. Amen? And so here's what I want to do real quickly. I want to talk about soul winning. Somebody's got a testimony. We can't take all, maybe one, maybe two. Somebody's got a testimony of somebody that you led to Christ, or you got a wonderful story of somebody that got saved. And I'm going to have a word of prayer. And I want you to give that testimony, okay? Think about it for just a minute. We might have two of them because we ain't got time, okay? But let's do that. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And if you can get testify, just take a minute or two and tell us how it had to be a wonderful experience, amen? If they got saved, you had a part of it, and that might have been somebody in your family or something like that. So let's pray and ask God to help us, and we'll get into this today. Father, be with us. Lord, I'm nothing. You're everything. Thank you for what this meeting has meant to me, Lord. And we give you glory, praise, and honor. Pray that you'll give safety in traveling today. And wherever our destination is, that, Lord, you'd go with us, go before us, and just lead and direct today. Bless the speakers later on. May they be filled with power. And may God help us today in the way that he sees fit. Lord, your will be done. We'll give you glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Let's go on. I got to move. I got a lot of information. If you got a pen and paper out, forgive me. My secretary is my wife and my sweetheart, and she said, I ain't coming out in this snow to come down there and print you nothing. So that's what happened. Hey, man, she's the boss. Hallelujah. I think she's the pastor of our church. But anyhow, I'll leave it at that. But sorry I didn't get it printed, but we'll write fast, look fast. So I'm going to give you my soul winning, one of them anyway. This first Sunday of the year, just a few weeks ago, we baptized one fella. He's dying of cancer. Three times a week, he's on dialysis. Name's Robert Miller. Robert had a brother pass away last year, and we went to the viewing. And we were in the view, and he's got two of his brothers goes to our church. One of them goes faithful, the other one doesn't. But the other brothers, four brothers, the other brother had passed away. And I, in the funeral home, in the viewing, here comes Robert by me, walks by me. And he knew me, and I knew him. And I just said, Robert, that's your brother. I said, I'm sorry about hearing your brother pass. And I said, and I didn't know all the details about his cancer and all everything like that at the time. And I just made a few passing statements. I said, your brother is in heaven. I said, thank God for that. I said, Robert, Are you ready? Are you ready? That's all I said. And he said, Preacher, I got cancer. And he started telling me the whole story. And then I just said it one more time. I said, it pays to be ready. And so I said, Robert, I want you to know that you can be ready. If it becomes your, like your brother, he was ready, he's saved. That's all I said. I just passed. A few weeks passed by, we had a meeting. His brother, the brother in my church, brought him, Philip, brought his brother. And somebody else from heaven showed up that Sunday morning. Robert came to the aisle and weeping in tears. He said, Preacher, I can't get them words that you said. You got to be ready. He got gloriously saved. They had to tape him up. Got wires coming out of his body. They had to tape him up. When I baptized my buddy in Jesus' name. I'll ask you something. I gotta hurry because I'm looking at that clock and I hate that clock. But let me give you this real quickly. What I'm doing in Acts chapter 26 is just showing you that Paul spoke up. It's time to speak up. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. What I'm trying to say in Acts, let me just give you that, you know, Acts chapter 24, let me give you the preface of it. Acts 24, Ananias, high priest, came to get him, Paul. Here's the elders with them. And just listen to what I'm saying real quick, and we'll get cut to the chase here. Tertullus, the orator, came. He now gets in chapter 24, he comes before Felix. The Jews in verse 9, Acts 24, 9, the Jews now. You get over here, verse 24, his wife, Felix's wife, Drusilla, was there. Paul spoke of judgment. I believe he spoke about hell. The Bible says in verse 25, Felix trembled. And here in verse 27, I don't know how to say this, Porcius, Festus, here we go from Felix to Festus, y'all know this. Chapter 25, verse 13, King Agrippa and Bernice show up. I mean, all these are bringing accusations. The whole thing is their accusation. They're trying to find a way to kill Paul and shut him up, amen? And, you know, 25, 13, King Agrippa and Bernice, chapter 25, 23, he's with the chief captains, 25, he's with the principal men of the city. Chapter 26, he comes before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa allows him to speak. Are y'all with me? And finally down there in 26, 8, let's read it real quickly. 26, 8, y'all with me? Say amen. He said, why should it be thought a thing incredible of you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought for myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He's telling you who he was before he saved. He said, which thing I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received as authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Paul's telling them, I'm a sinner, I was wicked. Amen. He said, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities, whereunto I was in Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. And here we go. At midday, O king, I saw with a way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me of them which journeyed with me. And when they were all fallen to the earth, I heard the voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I appeared unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first to them Damascus. What he's saying is, what he did just then, he's got so many people around him. I mean, it didn't matter if they were the governor, the king, or who they were, women, men, high priests, or whatever. Can I get a witness? He spoke up. He spoke up. Go with me to John 15 real quickly. John chapter 15. Y'all notice I got a little, y'all see my little fruit tree up here? Well, I want to take a few minutes and talk about John chapter 15 here. But basically what Paul's doing, and just pour out my heart to you. You know, I feel like an ignorant and unlearned man, but, you know, like they said, but I can just tell you this, I've been with Jesus, hallelujah. And I've been put this in my heart to give you today, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And John 15, Brother Ron has been hitting on it and hitting on it, and I can't tell you, I'll overemphasize, I'm going to nail it again, smack it again, and we need to keep hitting it as hard as we can. And Jesus is saying, verse number one, in his discourse to his disciples, he's trying to tell them that he's leaving and he's going away. And they'd been with Jesus, they walked with Jesus, they followed Jesus, and now he's getting them ready to leave. And he's trying to emphasize something that we need to emphasize and over again get it about abiding in Christ. Amen? And if we're talking about bearing much fruit, that's what my title's all about, bearing much fruit. I got this fruit tree here, and you can tell, well, it's green, and you can tell it's fruitful. And we'll look at that here in just a minute. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Let's go real quickly. Three people, three persons here that we see. I call it three characters that are in action here. We see number one, the I am. We know who that is. The vine. That's the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's speaking. And then he says, my Father is the husbandman. What is that? That's the vine dresser. The vine dresser. So we have the vine. He said, my Father's the husbandman, the vine dresser. And then we've got a third character, which are the branches. I call them the vessels. Oh, we got the vine, the Lord Jesus. His Father, our Heavenly Father, praise God. The vine dresser. And we have the branches, which we know as you and me, the vessels. Number two, let's just go on here. I see three causes, not only three characters of action, but three causes of action. Notice what we're saying here, and notice what we're getting into here. We see here there's three causes. Let me give you the three courses. I'm sorry. There's three courses of action. Number one, connection. I'm going to give them to you, and then I'm going to let you write them, and then we'll talk. Number two, communion. Number three, consistency is a good word. Connection, communion, consistency. He said, I am the vine, my Father's the husband, every branch in me. Oh, my goodness. How many of you believe we are dependent on Christ? He's not dependent on us. We in Christ, Christ in the Father. That blows my mind that we have the privilege and opportunity, the blessedness of being in Christ, in His hands, and yet Christ in God's hands. Amen? What a wonderful union. I'm going to say something to you today. It's real too. Amen? And praise God, we see a connection, we see a communion, we see consistency. And we see here, talking about connection there, I was at a funeral in Georgia this past week. An evangelist friend of mine buried his 50-year-old wife, and it was sad, and a very man of God, and he buried his wife. And the preacher gave an illustration about being connected, said the prince of Saudi Arabia came to Paris, and said he brought his servants with him in some kind of, he said, of all the grandeur and beauty of Paris. He said the most striking thing to the servants, and the prince came in and he said his servants, and they were about to leave, and the most striking thing about them is they were in there turning the faucets on and off. They kept playing with the faucets. They turn it on, turn it off. Turn it on and turn it off. And they came in and said, what's wrong? What's the matter? Said, this is amazing. He said, where I come from, we have, he said, we need this where I come. It's all dry, and they just turn it on and turn it off. And they were trying to take the pipes apart and trying to figure out how they could take it back home and because they didn't have it at home. And the prince came in and said, hey, it's all connected in the pipes going down in the ground. If we're going to ever have any much fruit, we're going to have some connection. Let me give you some things here. Christ is the true vine. How many of you believe a plant like this? You naturally, I went and got this from a Cambodia friend of mine yesterday. And I went down in the bottom of it's still got water dripping and mud. I had to clean it up 3 times before I got it here. You say, preacher, in order to have fruit, natural things, you got to have water. Amen. Takes water, doesn't it? What does water do? Well, it's a few things I wrote down. It's sufficient for life. Can't live without water. How about it supports growth? Water. It's the sap that gives and delivers the food to all the other parts of the tree, water. I'm trying to show you something here. When we see the word abide here, we're seeing what God is simply saying. John mentions it as we look at it here. You'll look at it. He mentions it 34 times in the book of John. He tells us in this passage right here, we'll look at it here in just a second. There's 7 times he says abide, and there's 7 times he said, or 6 times he says in me, and 1 time he says without me. And so he's trying to give us something here. Amen. If he says it 1 time, it says a lot. But if he says it and he says it and he says it like my daddy always had to do, he's trying to get something across. Amen. And what I'm trying to say is simply this, is water in the Word of God pictures 2 things. Running water and still water. You know what this is. I'm preaching to the choir. Amen. Running water and still water. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen. And if there's anything that we are in Christ with, amen, it's because of the Spirit of God in this precious book right here, the Word of God. Amen. And if there's anything going to grow out of us, if there's anything that's going to flow out of us, it better be the Spirit of God, because it's, praise God, the Spirit of God is where we got, when we got in Christ, praise God, the Spirit of God baptized us, amen, in Him. Amen? A lot of things I can say there. I'm going to move on, but I'm just trying to say thank God for the true vine. There will only be another vine, amen. One writer said that Jesus came down, left heaven's glory, came down into this earth, and God planted Him in this earth. Amen. God gave us His Son, and He came to this earth planted. He is the true vine. Amen. Praise God. I can go on with that. But we see not only the I'm just going to talk about these characters here. How about the Father? Not only the true vine, the Lord Jesus, but we see, how many of you believe the importance of being connected with the Lord Jesus? By the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. There's a lot more I can say on that. I want to get on the Father here. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. Thank God for our Heavenly Father. Oh, that to know today and to think about all the things that the Father is today. You can't even say enough about. There's so many. Look at John 14:10. I mean, Jesus is saying it back there. Believest thou that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me, and I doeth His works. Jesus did everything to glorify His Father. Amen. And He's telling us that the Father has some business here to do. He's doing something with the vine and to the branches. Amen. several things here you can write down. Just write down the Father. Let's look up some things here, and we'll just give you a few things real quickly, just real quickly. First of all, in verse number 2, he said, I every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So write the first thing about the Father, contact. Contact. The Father puts his hands on us. Amen. Remember now, our whole objective is to bear much fruit. We're getting to that. I'm going fast as I can. But there's contact from the Father. Hebrews 12 goes right along with this, and you know this as well. Hebrews 12, it talks about the Father. Not only do we have the Father's divine dresser, but we have the chastening of the Father. The Bible says here, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. But Hebrews 12:6 goes on talking about father stuff. He said, whom the Lord loveth, he does what? He chasteneth. Amen. And scourgeth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. How about that? So we see number two, the father contact. We see number two, chastening. The word chastening means tutorage, training, if you will. I remember I was 11 years old. Talking about chastening my physical father. I was 11 years old, and my daddy's a preacher over 50 years. This is Burlington, North Carolina. Where are you North Carolina fellas? I got saved in Burlington, North Carolina, pastored in Burlington. And I was 11 years old at the time, and I made a smart aleck sideways comment to my daddy, and I said, Daddy, I don't think I'm going to go to church tonight. He said, what happened? I don't remember the rest of the day. All I was trying to do is breathe. You know why? He cut that limb off. He purged that thing. Thank God for a father to do that. Amen. Not only do we see chastening, but we see cutting. Hebrews, he scourgeth. The Father cuts, cutting. We see contact, chastening, cutting. Where's that preacher talking about them cigarettes? Mine wasn't imaginary. I was actually trying to smoke one. I didn't know how to smoke one. I was 14 years old. I had a friend. His mother smoked. And he stole something from his mother. He had a chicken farm. We went out there in the back of the chicken farm. We liked to burn the chicken farm down. Hey, man. Send the smoke signals to heaven, and the mother found us, and... Amen. I didn't know which end to smoke. I didn't know how to smoke it. First full deep breath I ever puffed of a cigarette rid me of cigarette smoking. Man, I saw visions, signs, and wonders. Amen. I couldn't breathe. I went home. They had something back in those days called a telephone off the wall. And I had about a mile. You're talking about walking the mile. Amen. I had a mile to go home, but I didn't have a bird sense at 14 years of age that woman was going to call my daddy and tell him that she called us with us, her son smoking cigarettes. So I got home. I walked in the screen door, walked in. My daddy's waiting on me in the kitchen there, right there in the kitchen. And my daddy was an old-fashioned farmer, raised in North Carolina, Sanford, North Carolina. Tobacco, old-fashioned. I mean, I had a grandfather, old-fashioned, amen. He had a mule that wouldn't move one day, and he took a hammer and beat him between the eyes. You say, what happened? He moved, amen. But here I was, 14 years of age. I walked in. My daddy said, I hear something about you today. He said, and he didn't mess around. He said, you been smoking, son? No, Daddy, no, I wouldn't, no, sir, no. What are you talking about? Usually he pulls his belt off. He was so mad as a father. I seen this come up like this right here, and I'm telling you, he tried to take my head off of my shoulders. And I knew the wrath of God was coming. I ran through the screen door. I fell out in the backyard there. My dad came out and grabbed the water hose and literally beat me an inch of my life. You say, who's your father? He's my best friend. You better thank God today that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you.
Amen.
One of my words here, He not only cuts, He corrects. I got to go on. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He's concerned. Write the word concerned. Chapter 15, verse 2, He cleans. The Father cleans. I know the Lord Jesus cleans. But look at the writing. Look at the terminology here real quickly. Here he says, and every branch in me that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. What does the word purge mean? It means to take away. It means to make clean by getting rid of the things that are dirty and wrong in our life. The Father, the vine dresser. Are y'all with me? He cleans it. And Jesus is speaking right here. And notice the first word in verse number 3. He talks about the Father taking the fruit. If you're bearing fruit, if you bear fruit, he says, I'll purge you. He'll take away what's dirty, he cleans. And look what the first word in verse 3 says. Now, Jesus said, are you clean? Through the words which I have spoken unto you. See the Father and the Son working here? The vine dresser's doing the work on us, but Jesus is saying, it's my words. It's the Word of God. It's Him. Amen? Boy, what we see here, we see the word abide, and I'm getting to it. And buddy, I want to give you this. As we get to it, down to the meat of it here, let's get into it. He said, now are you clean through the word. And boy, down there in verse number 7 says again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You see that? We're talking about producing fruit and making much fruit. And let's get into it. There's only two kinds of fruit. Let's get to it. Right on one side, unfruitful. On the other side, fruitful. Right on one side, unfruitful. And the other side, fruitful. Let me give you the four or five things in each real quickly. We've got to write them down quickly. Number one, if you're unfruitful, He taketh away. There's a severance. Severance is the word I'm looking for. He taketh away. God's trying to say, if you're separated from me, the vine dresser, the Heavenly Father, He taketh away. That's what He's saying. What happens in verse 4a, chapter 15, verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So we go from severance, being separated, to barrenness. If you're by yourself, and you have no help from the Word of God, and you're not abiding in Christ, in me, amen? You see that? You're barren. You're separated from Him. How in the world can we produce any fruit if the juices that are supposed to be the nutrients that feed these wonderful fruits right here, something that's alive here, amen? If the branch has been cut off, the juices are not flowing. You know what's wrong with us producing fruit? We have no juices. We don't have nothing, the Word of God. We don't have the Spirit of God. Amen? How are we going to produce anything if we're not connected like we're supposed to? There's a severance. There's a barrenness. I wrote the word undressed. Uncultivated is another word. What happens in verse 6, first part? If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. Look at that. And is withered, oh my Lord. One wrote it like this. One writer said it this way. Those that fall off from Christ, I believe Brother Ron was on this, and this is what he's talking about. Those that fall off from Christ presently fall in with sinners and Satan. If you're not with Christ and in Christ and in me and abiding in Him, then where are you? You cast forth. The fifth one is the word deterioration. Look at the verse. Verse 6 there again. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth a branch. Catch this little phrase. And is withered. What a word. That's why we're not having a revival right there. One word right there. We're saved, but we're not abiding. We're withered. What in the world is that word? It means shriveled. It means withered. It means, the word shriveled means, the word withered means dried up. It means when it's dried up, there's a dead branch on it. That means there's life down in the vine, down below here in the nutrients that you don't see. Amen? But there's no nutrients. There's no water. There's no water. There's no water. It's dried up. And God says, the Lord Jesus is simply trying to tell us that there's deterioration. He said, unfruitful professors are unfaithful professors. They're only professors. Amen. Only you and God know whether you're in Christ. Amen. Only you and your Savior today. Oh, my Lord. The last thing it says here in verse 6 says, and is with, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are what? Burned. That's not mean you're going to hell. He's talking to his disciples here that followed him. Peter, James, and John, and these folks. Amen? And he's talking about your testimony, your life. You go into Satan and fall into sin. You fall into hypocrisy, and then you get hard. There's a stage. There's a progression, and the bottom line is you're destroyed. Your life is no good. Brother Ron mentioned it about Paul being a castaway. He was fearful of that. That's why he was fighting. Amen? Oh, God, help us today. We see it unfruitful. Let's get the fruitful side real quickly. Man, I got to go. Fruitful. Write this, fruitful. Here's the good stuff. How many of you want to be fruitful today? Amen. Number one, there's surrender. Hey, folks, we're not talking about a fruit tree here today. We're talking about you. Jesus is speaking to you today. And I'm telling you, there's a volition that God gives us, praise God, that we have, and we can make a choice today. And I don't know about you, but listen, if we don't surrender to Him, He can't do nothing with us. Amen. And there's a surrender here. I got to go on. He says, "And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges that it may bring forth more fruit." Y'all see that? In verse 3, He's talking about, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Verse 7 talks about, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You see that? Abiding. There's more fruit. But number two, there's sanctification. Sanctification. If you're fruitful, you're sanctified. You know why? Because the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. John 17:17. 2 Timothy 3:16. You know that scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, quote, where all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. Oh, my Lord. And is what? And is profitable for what? Doctrine. What's that? The word of God is profitable for doctrine. That tells you what's right. What's the next one? Reproof. That tells you what's wrong. This right here tells you what's right. This right here tells you what's wrong. What's the next one? Reproof, correction. That tells you how to make the wrongs right. Same book. Amen? Praise God. And for instruction in righteousness, that tells you how to, amen, keep that which is right, right. Same book. Why? That the man of God may be what? Throughly furnished. Fully equipped unto what? All good works. Is that right? Oh, my goodness, we've got to have the Word of God flowing, flowing, flowing. We've got to have the Word of God. I like this one. This next one, saturation. That's the next word, being fruitful. If you're going to be fruitful, you've got to be surrendered. There's going to have to be sanctification. There's a lot I can say. I've got to move. Number three, saturation. Notice that in verse 4 and 5. Look at verse 4 and 5. Verse 2, we're left with more fruit. But verse 4 and 5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, and so and no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Amen. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying what he already said. And seven times right here, and the word abide, he says in verse 4, there's four times just in verse 4 and 5 that he says, abide in me. Let's get that word. Let's nail that word down if we don't do anything. The word abide. It means to be a guest in my house. It means to stay. It means to stand fast. It means to stay on while others leave. It means to remain. Saturation. You know what Jesus is saying? He said it seven times right here. He said, abide. You know what he's saying? He's saying, stay, 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 stay. In me, in me, in me, in me, in me, in me, in me. Why? There's where the fruit is. There's where. And he goes on and goes from more fruit to, what's his next phrase? Much fruit. Y'all see it down there? Verse 5 says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. What else happens? Quickly. Fruitful. Put these two words, supplication. Verse 7. If you're fruitful, guess what? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Where, hallelujah. And what? And it should be done unto you. That sounds like supplication. In other words, you're praying for somebody to be saved. You're praying for souls to be saved. It might have to do with the connection of how much you're abiding in Christ. Somebody you want saved, if the Savior's going to save, amen. And if sinners are going to get saved, amen, it might be dependent on how you're abiding in him. That's just a little Greek word right here. You help me with it. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, amen. Now look at that little phrase. I got to hurry. The word witness, Greek word means martyr. You shall be witnesses, martyrs. What's a martyr? Somebody who's willing to stand for what he believes in, willing to die for it. Wait a minute. Let's just hear me now. Hear me. I got. We're talking about all this crucified life and this death life. Let me ask you a question real quickly. If you're dead, how are you going to win anybody? Hear me now. Hear me now. Hear me now. Then if you're dead, who's the real soul winner? Amen. Good. And the more we abide in him, praise God, that's why Brother Ron was talking about instruments of righteousness. Your voice, your mind, your eyes, your ears, your feet, your voice. Are y'all with me? Amen. It's the gospel that comes out of you that came from the Lord Jesus that he gave us. Amen. And God wants your mouthpiece to be able to, and you can pray and get supplication. I like this last one. There's satisfaction. If you're fruitful, there's supplication. If you're fruitful, the Father's glorified. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Fellas, I want to say it over and over and over. Abide in Christ. If there's any fruit going to come, we got to abide in him. Now, real quickly, I'm done. I got to finish. I got to stop. In this wonderful tree, you can see it's alive. There's a lot of fruit on it. Amen. I want to show you an example. Now, here's where I'm going. I ain't got time, but I'm gonna cut it to a chase. If we spend our life abiding in Christ, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, abiding in him, without him we can do nothing. soul winning is nothing without Him. Fruit is nothing without Him. Next great calendar event on our Lord's calendar is the rapture of the church. We're going to be checking out of here pretty soon. Hopefully pretty soon. Next thing that we do after the rapture, you know this. Judgment seat of Christ. The Bema seat. It's an elevated platform. All we must do what? Stand 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. My question today, you know this, it's not, God's not dealing with sins. Sin's already been judged at Calvary. Hallelujah. He took care of that at the cross. Believers stand before God. Now listen, get the picture now. Who's going to be there? God the Father, the supreme, sovereign, almighty God. The vine dresser. Going to be there. The vine is going to be there too. The Lord Jesus. That's who you're going to stand in front of. By the way, Corinthians says He's the foundation. No other foundation we build on but Him, Jesus Christ. Amen? I wish I could get a lot of that. I'm just trying to say that's going to be a reckoning day. You know what He's going to be doing? Fruit counting. Fruit counting. How are you going to stand before God? The church will be there. The blood of Jesus, the Father will be there. The Son will be there. And He told us, this is supposed to be a rewards. This is where we get our rewards. God's going to give rewards to those that have been faithful. And our works that we have, since we've been saved, are going to be judged. Just you and just the judge. Amen. He's going to look at your works, good or bad. Amen. And I'm going to ask you today, thinking about it this way. Is your works going to be fruitful? Is it going to look like that? I brought another one. Or is this what you're going to look like? Now, that's not a fruit tree, but it's living. My illustration is this. This is what we ought to be doing in Christ. Are you going to be fruitful? No leaves, no fruit. I've spent an entire month thinking about that right there. That the God that would work with us and the Lord Jesus that would save us and give us the privilege for us to abide and be in Christ and to live our life to show up at the judgment seat of Christ and have nothing, no fruit, nothing to show. God, please arrest me today. I don't want to be fruitless. I don't want to be fruitless. I don't want to be fruitless when I look at my Heavenly Father. And our works are going to be judged by fire. Fire is a symbol of the holiness of God. Our works will go through the holiness, and there won't be nothing but holiness when we stand in that place. And we answer for our deeds done in our body. God, help me to have some fruit where He will be glorified, where He will be honored. I don't know about you, but praise God, I got a son. Brother preached that. He got 3 boys. I got 1 boy and 2 girls. Amen. And you know as a father, you're proud, praise God, when your boy hits a home run or hits a golf ball and you taught him how to play golf, and for 15 years you whooped him, and now he hits the ball farther than, you know, you love that, you're proud of that. My boy's a preacher, I'm proud of that, amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God gives us a reward? Joseph, Philip, and you stand before Christ, and I got to hurry up because I got to shut up. I brought everybody some fruit. Brother Ben, where you at? Come on up here and let's get everybody get it. I did wash these on the outside, but you don't eat them on the outside, you eat them on the inside. Now, these are oranges, and notice this is whatever, okay? I wasn't going to give y'all lemons because y'all pucker up, amen? Your tongue will slap brain. So I bought you some orange. Everybody gets one. Everybody hurry, 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 hurry. We got to hurry, 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 hurry. Nobody will ever know Clara Peller. Clara Peller, Clara Peller. Nobody knows. Well, you might know, amen. Back in 1984, Wendy's commercial came out with the three women. Y'all hit up me a mile. Three women. Big old bun. Finally, the woman on this side, she pulls the bun off. Clara barely could shoulders. She wasn't that tall. She looked at it. Where's the beef? That's all she said. Where's the beef? Got on the phone and talked to the executive. Where's the beef? It was an overnight success. I've still been eating them classic. I think I ate one last night. Hallelujah. When you stand before the Lord, He's not going to say, where's the beef? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Let me ask you, fella. Ain't nobody in here like me wants to bear much fruit. Now, I believe it's not just centered on soul winning. There's a whole lot of abiding in Christ. There's a whole lot of things that God help us. There's a whole lot more here. But I want you to take this fruit. I want to give you this illustration. I'll shut up. If I didn't see this, I wouldn't tell it. I wouldn't believe it if I saw it. I was preaching in Florida last year. Down in Stark, Florida. Preacher had an outdoor tent meeting. No flaps on the tent. This is Florida. It rains a lot down there in Florida. It rained a week before and about flooded us out. He had pallets to get into the tent. And we preaching. I had two nights preaching. I had an evangelist friend of mine preaching two nights, another brother preaching one night. My night was Wednesday and Thursday, or Tuesday and Wednesday. And Wednesday, by Tuesday, some nutcase, some wacko came through town there, small old town, and saw the tent out there, saw us having an evangelistic meeting there. We was dedicating some property that the preacher purchased there. And so we had a meeting to dedicate the property to the Lord, and that's what that was about. And he went on Facebook and Instagram, all of them, said he's going to come down there and shoot the place up and you know, and all that. And the night he said that, it was my night to preach. Long story short, I went and showed up on Wednesday night. The first thing, I got out of the car, didn't know all this. I got out of the car and the preacher said, are you packing? Packing? No, I said, normally have one in the car, but I said, I didn't bring it. He said, well, he need to tell me a story, what I just said. He said, there's a nut going to come down here and shoot us up. And he's posting, he's in the motel around here somewhere. I said, what? The next phrase came out of his mouth. He said, if you need a gun, there's one underneath the pulpit. I said, well, I shoot the 1611 KJV. I said, that's been shooting pretty good for the last, amen. I went off to preaching. And there I could see them out there. They had the whole entire Police force, all three of them. Long story short, we didn't know the sound was echoing off the tent. And it was going out from underneath the tent. And it's loud. And I was preaching wide open. Evangelistic fire. Thundering. Lady, two blocks up the road. God's my witness. She came out on the front porch drinking beer. And she heard this loud noise. And she started listening to it. Amen. Something come over her. She said, I know. She said, my life is miserable. I made a mess of myself. She said, I'm nothing. She left her front porch. She came down two blocks. She came underneath the tent. We thought she walked down the aisle. Are y'all with me? We thought she was in the tent meeting. She never would. They almost strip searched her because the cops wasn't letting anybody come in there. Amen. She got in there. She got in. The timing of it was right there at the invitation. She never slowed down. Went right down the aisle. I gave it to the preacher. I was sitting over here like Brother Wayne over here, and the preacher standing over with a girl. He was talking to her, and she's talking out loud to him. And she's telling the same story I'm telling you there. And she said, my life's a mess. I realize I need something. She said, all I could hear was that preaching going down here at this tent. I want to come down here. I need some help. Amen. The preacher pulled me over there, and he'd been telling me that 10 women got around her. And I'm talking about gloriously got saved by the grace of God. They took her home that night. And she got out of the car, and she's screaming to them. She said, we got to go, fellas. She said, throw the beer out. Get rid of it. Pour it out. The next night, she was underneath the tent. She had a Bible in her hands. Philip, there'll be some fruit. There'll be some fruit, brother. There'll be some fruit. I don't want to stand naked without him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dismiss us now. May this fruit in our hands be a reminder that we need to abide in Christ. And we abide in Christ, it will stay. Remain with you. There can be much fruit in our lives, even souls, sinners, to be saved. Help us to take this gospel and speak it like Paul did everywhere we go. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.